The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
You're listening to the PVD Cast with John Orlando.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 490. I hope all is well with you out there, and thank you very much for checking out this edition of the PVD Cast. My guest for this episode is an individual with one name, who is one man that has one awesome project to talk about. Talking, of course, about my guest, Gordy, the man behind the comic book project, I guess you can call it, Being Gordy. I'm not real sure what to call it, and you'll hear in our conversation that it's kind of a genre-bending type of project, where it's not quite a comic book, it's not quite a graphic novel, it's not quite a comic strip, even though comic strips really, really influenced Gordy as a kid growing up. And since we're talking about nomenclature, it is a situation comedy. At least that's the name that Gordy likes to give this project. And we're going to talk all about it. We're going to talk about the catalyst for the tale. We're going to talk about how sitcoms and comic strips were heavily influencing Gordy in his art and in his creation of this tale. We'll also talk about the fact that last fall there was a funded Kickstarter. And we'll talk even about the future of Being Gordy. So it's a great episode that you definitely do not want to miss. So before we get to my conversation with Gordy, I got to thank two great sponsors for their support of the PVD Cast. First is Courtney 614 Online Sales. If you need women's fashion and health and beauty, then there's one place to check out, and that is Courtney 614 Online Sales. Courtney 614 is on all of those reselling apps, whether you're talking about eBay, Mercari, Postmark, whatnot, all of them. All you have to do is look for Courtney, C-O-R-T-N-E-Y, 614, or a couple of them, you have to go with Courtney, C-O-R-T-N-E-Y, underscore 614, and you should find some great bargains from that wonderful, fantastic supporter of the PVD Cast. Courtney 614 Online Sales. And of course, I can't forget about the OG of sponsors, if you will, World's Greatest Comics. They've got comics from every era, whether you're talking about the golden, silver, bronze, and even the modern era. They also have graphic novels, toys, comic book supplies, various collectibles, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues. You name it, they got it for you. And if they don't got it, they'll go out and find a way to get it for you. I'm telling you right now that World's Greatest Comics is the best comic book shop in Ohio. And if you're in the Buckeye State, dare I say, then you owe it to yourself to stop by the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. But they're also available online. Just go to their website, which is wgcomics.com. And you can check them out on Facebook as well. Just search for @WGComics. And I want to thank again WG Comics for the support throughout the years. I really do appreciate it. And so with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear my conversation with Gordy talking about his project, Being Gordy. Ladies and gentlemen, this evening, I'm sitting down with a creator behind a project called Being Gordy. Well, it's Gordy himself. How are you this evening, sir?
Good. Thanks for having me on.
You're quite welcome. As I started to research your project of Being Gordy, I found that you maybe had a little bit of difficulty classifying it, as it's not yet quite a graphic novel,
but yet it kind of is a little bit more like a comic strip. But you settled on the name of, it's a situational comedy. So,
yeah.
Why did you decide to go that route, could I ask?
Okay. Good question. So earlier in Being Gordy's development, it was originally aimed as a comic strip. All my early roots are with that medium and thinking that way. When that avenue dried up for me, I moved on to developing Being Gordy as a graphic novel. And that really wasn't fitting right. So I took whatever I had done and literally just shelved it. And I just kept on moving on without any real plan or vision. A year or two before COVID. So we're talking 2017, 2018, something like that. It suddenly occurred to me. I always called Being Gordy a situation comedy. Regardless of whatever form it's going to be in, it's a comedy. And its influence is television. Specifically, situation comedies, usually the ones that are shot in front of a live studio audience, like Big Bang Theory, stuff like that, because I simply love that medium. And it's the writing of shows like that that inspires me so much. And I was walking around in my studio and just this little voice inside of me said, "Hey, dummy, just go write your damn TV show." And I sat down and started writing Being Gordy as if it were a half-hour sitcom, episode by episode, and the characters just like took off in a way that I never experienced previously. And I did that for a while, just for the sheer fun of it. And then about, was it 2023, I think? Yeah. Christmas 2023, I forced myself to stop writing and start mapping out, you know, laying out the first issue. I knew it was going to be now an independently published comic book series where every single issue is a standalone episode of Being Gordy. I'm not interested in doing long arcs that you need to buy six issues to get the entire story. You know, it's just single story, single issue, move on to the next one. And I just wanted to get that going. I finished up in around August of last year, launched it on Kickstarter, and by November, it all went pretty smoothly and pretty quickly. I published, and the first issue is out, and I'm working hard on issue two, and in some capacity, I'm working on issues 3 through 6, which is the rest of what I'm calling season one of Being Gordy, a situation comedy.
So it had to feel really good to have that Kickstarter go smoothly and funded and whatnot, because I've talked to a lot of comic creators, and that sometimes can be, I don't want to say devastating, but it can be a devastating feeling that, oh man, I didn't reach my goal, and it causes a lot of anxiety. So were you on that same wavelength where, hey, you know, it's funded, I'm ready to go, I can don't have to worry about that and just move on?
Given that it was the first time I ever did anything like that, there was concern. And okay, while it was successful in that I met my goal, it wasn't like I've seen some other Kickstarters where, you know, literally the project is like 600 or 800% funded. I wasn't that lucky. You know, that would have been really nice. But look, I was just grateful to meet my goal. And it's actually kind of funny because I didn't exactly do it to raise the money. I did it to find a readership. From what I was seeing, you know, and having never done this before in any capacity, and talking to a few friends who are comic creators who have always launched on Kickstarter, you know, that was a very viable way of finding an audience. So, you know, I did it. I budgeted out the costs and everything. And again, you know, I was successful. I met the goal. The first issue got launched. I think I might do things a little differently next time. Because, again, it's because of that reality that it's not necessarily the cost I'm looking for. It's readers, you know, mm-hmm. people that are interested in what I'm doing and taking a chance on it. I'm not sure if it's going to be a marketing thing or an editorial thing or just the way I present myself. But, I mean, I will put myself back on Kickstarter for sure for future issues. But I might do it a little differently just to see if I can target more interest.
Well, you said one of your huge inspirations for the project were sitcoms. Can I put you on the spot and ask you to name your favorite 3, 4, 5 sitcoms?
Yeah, you may. I never have a problem with that. okay, so I'm a little older. I'm a child of the 70s. I was born in the mid-60s. So the reason why I love sitcoms so much is I literally grew up in the medium. I remember that time before cable when, you know, you just had three channels and the family was gathered around the TV at night. And okay, of my top five, my top two, in no particular order, the Mary Tyler Moore Show and the Bob Newhart Show.
Okay. Because
first of all, the Mary Tyler Moore Show redefined what a sophisticated American situation comedy shot in front of a live studio audience was going to be. That show has a really interesting history to it. And it really set the bar. And it's because of that show that we got the Bob Newhart Show. I mean, it literally was the same production company.
Mm-hmm.
Other sitcoms I love. Oh God, there's so many.
Any offbeat ones or maybe obscure ones that people should know about?
Obscure, I'm going to say no. I go for the popular stuff and it like say Big Bang Theory.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, it's popular for a very good reason. It's just so well done, so well written. I mean, mm-hmm. yeah, the cast, the actors are all great, but when you look at the writing on a TV show like that, oh, it's just gold. It's just gold. Other sitcoms, Everybody Loves Raymond comes to mind. Again, just phenomenal writing, phenomenal scripting. I'm a huge Phil Rosenthal fan. He was the creator of that show and the showrunner. He does a travel show on Netflix now called I'll Have What Phil's Having, I think it's called. No, it's called Somebody Feed Phil.
Oh.
it's very entertaining. You know, definitely check it out if you haven't. But other sitcoms, I mean, I'll just run up and down the gamut. You know, Cheers. Oh, Frasier. Frasier's a big one.
Okay.
The writing on that show, the timing, the pacing was just, I mean, that is a perfect example of why a TV show can last for so long. Because that show went for what, like nine, ten seasons?
Mm-hmm. And, yeah.
Oh my God. It was just amazing. Just the writing on that show was just incredible. I mean, and of course, don't get me wrong. It's the casting too. But
right.
It's both. It's really, you know, it's for someone like me, a comic creator, I'm just really focused on the writing, the humor that, you know, really builds that universe.
And we are recording on a evening here where Lonnie Anderson has just passed away. So you can't overlook the fact that WKRP in Cincinnati was a fantastic sitcom.
On my list. Absolutely. Yeah. Yes, I actually got to meet her once.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I met her at a comic convention about 10 years ago. Yeah, had her sign a copy of WKRP. I was fortunate enough to meet her. Lovely woman.
Well, let's talk about some of the Easter eggs that you would find in Being Gordy, because I noticed there's quite a few, folks, but you'll notice a little bit of Star Trek. You'll notice Dick Van Dyke, All in the Family, kind of all kind of a little winks and nods. Did you purposely decide to go that route and do that? Or was it something that you did and then it was an accident? And you're like, I think this works.
You know something? That's something I used to do a lot when I was doing Being Gordy as a comic strip. And then in the years since, I got away from it. And when I sat down to do issue one, I said, you know something? I think I've moved a little too far away from the comic strip rules. And I'm just going to start injecting some of that stuff back in. And yeah, I just started, you know, peppering the panels here and there. Like, you know, my character Max always has a graphic t-shirt on, and usually it's a logo of an actual old TV show, like All in the Family or something. Or, you know, if I'm showing a room and there's a framed picture on a wall, you know, it's like, you know, the cast of the Bob Newhart Show or something. I did that on purpose to basically just kind of emphasize even more my love of the medium that is television and its influence on what I was trying to do.
Well, let's talk about Max and a couple of the other characters. Max is somewhat, if not all the way, you in comic strip form, correct?
No, Max is, Max and Paige are both, you know, well, all of it is fiction. I mean, I'll tell people there may be similarities between me and the comic book version of Gordy, but there's no autobiographical anything going on.
Okay. It's all
fiction.
Okay.
Max was originally based on my real life friend, Mark, just visuals, maybe a few characteristics very early on. Then I moved away from that. And really the character became its own thing. And Paige is just my other character that rounds out the main trio of Being Gordy. She's just 100% fiction.
Do you enjoy working with those three characters? I imagine you have to.
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, yeah. One of the surprising things, because I've always been a visual person, you know, people expect me to be the artist on something. You know, writing came over years. That took time. But in all honesty, I think my favorite thing about this entire project is writing it. If I had a choice between sitting and drawing some stuff out or just typing away and writing fresh script, I would choose the latter at this point. I just love it.
You know what, though? I do really like your art style. That is, to be honest, Gordy, that's what drew me to when I found out about your Kickstarter and your campaign. That was the reason why I gave it a good thorough, you know, read through and whatnot, because the art was so striking. So how do you describe kind of your art style? Or could you also maybe give us a little bit of details of your background in art?
So, you know, grew up my whole childhood scribbling. You know, I was always the art kid. You know, high school, you know, voted most artistic, all that junk. Went to school at UMass Amherst. Majored in art and specifically graphic design. While I was there, at that point, the mid-1980s, they had a school newspaper that published 5 days a week. And I saw that as a place to start out with a comic strip. And I did that for 3 years and published my first book off of that material. Graduated with a degree, worked in publishing and mainly advertising my entire adult life, and doing the cartooning thing on the side off and on. In terms of the specifics, how it all applies to being Gordy, I always saw myself until maybe a decade ago as a comic strip cartoonist. There's a difference between that and a comic book cartoonist. You know, comic strip mm-hmm. cartoonists, they think a different way, you know, in terms of pacing, in terms of visuals. And I purposely had moved away from it, and then I saw that as a mistake. And the interesting thing about what you said, or, you know, you had picked up on it earlier. You said you really liked the art, and, you know, thank you for that. Though it's a comic book in form, it still has a comic strip sensibility to it, both the way I'm drawing it, the pacing of it, because that lends itself to the humor. So far, I'm getting away with it. I seem to be making it work. It's still a little bit of a struggle here and there, you know, when I'm laying out a fresh page, you know, do I do this? Do I do that? No, you know, keep it simple, you know, do it like I would a comic strip and just, you know, don't overthink it, that kind of thing. Because it is a comic book, there is a little worry in the back of my mind that I'm not doing enough visually, but so far, so good. Everybody seems pretty content with the first issue.
That was going to be my next question, is how has the feedback been for issue one?
It's been good. It's been good. You know, whoever supported it, or whoever I've heard from, they say they've really enjoyed it. And the key comment is they can't wait for issue two. And that's what I'm looking for, to hook people and get them wanting more.
Well, let me go back real quick to a question about comic strips. I'm not sure, because I have, as much as I love comics and graphic novels, maybe comic strips is the one area in art that I'm a little bit, I don't know, lackadaisical with, I guess you could say. How is the medium in 2025? I imagine it's probably not as strong as it maybe was 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago. What, in your opinion, is the status of comic strips in American society?
This is just my opinion, but yep. My opinion is that it is now a dead art form. In a single lifetime, I have seen comic strips being something beautiful and relevant, like it was back in the 70s and the 80s, even the 90s still. But once the internet came into being, the newspaper industry just, you know, got hit really hard. And with it, the syndicated comic strip. They've tried, you know, to make it last by doing things online and whatnot, but it's never been the same. The readership just isn't there. The business structure isn't there. And, you know, basically, I was the almost guy. I almost got syndicated twice with two different syndicates, and both of them told me in the end, this is heartbreaking. It's not you, it's us. We're not going to move forward, and it's got nothing to do with what you're doing. It's just, we're struggling to keep moving forward.
Yeah. That's, I must confess, I anticipated that might be your answer. And, I agree with you. You know, I'm from the mid-70s. I was born in 75. So growing up, we had those. And as a kid, I would like to look at those and read certain ones. Some of them didn't tickle my fancy. Some of them I thought were boring or whatnot. But there was plenty of other ones to, you know, read and enjoy. Yeah. And I just assume that technology, while it's a great thing, it does have its drawbacks. And comic strips, sadly, are one of them, the fall of them.
Yeah. I used to read I went from, you know, growing up reading a newspaper every single day to, you know, I can't even tell you the last time I looked at a newspaper or its comic strip section. It's just not relevant anymore.
I'm going to interrupt my conversation with Gordy for just one moment to talk to you about World's Greatest Comics. They are your one-stop shop for all your comic book related needs. They've got single issues, collections, graphic novels, toys, collectibles, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues. You name it, they got it for your fandom. So, if you're in the Central Ohio area, please stop by the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. And you can also check them out online. WGComics.com is the web address. And they're pretty active on their Facebook page. Just search for @WGComics.
Okay, well, while we're talking about it, what were some of your favorite comic strips?
The two that just completely inspired me the most were Doonesbury and Bloom County.
Okay.
And you might see some parallels there between, you know, what I just said and being Gordy. You know, it's just those writing very contemporary characters, you know, with a dry wit, a lot of sarcasm, that kind of thing. When those two strips were in their heyday, I would read them daily. And they had a huge impact on me. In terms of other classic American comic strips, though you won't see any parallels between that and my work. I mean, I've always been a Charles Schulz fan. I love Peanuts.
Yes.
He was just a master cartoonist. And just to look at the history of that strip and what he did with it was just, you know, stunningly beautiful. Other comic strips, God, there's so, you know, so many. There was a comic strip. It's actually been around for a while. I don't know if it's still around or not. It was called Gasoline Alley.
Oh yeah, I remember that one.
Remember Gasoline Alley?
Yeah.
Gasoline Alley has a really interesting history. Believe it or not, that strip started. It was created in the 1920s, I believe, and it got, you know, written and drawn by its original creator for several decades, and then, you know, it got taken over by some other creators, and they just kept it going. And through its various iterations throughout the decades, it just stayed this really beautiful, very entertaining thing. And I always liked looking at that one. That was a good one. And then there were several like adventure strips, Terry and the Pirates, Steve Canyon, even though they weren't, you know, humor, you know, funny in nature, that they weren't comedic. I was inspired simply by the level of art in strips like that, because it was just Milton Caniff, the writer, the creator of Terry and the Pirates and Steve Canyon. I mean, again, master cartoonist, master illustrator. His work is just amazing, just beautiful.
We have here in Columbus, Ohio, the Billy Ireland Museum. Yeah, Cartoon Library and Museum. I was lucky one time to get a backstage behind the scenes tour, myself and a few other folks.
Oh, wow.
And it blew my mind. Like, there were original Disney cells, you know, from various different movies of Disney. There was original Terry and the Pirates.
Yeah.
That were in encased in the museum. And it was, I tell anybody that comes to Columbus, Ohio, that's into art, that's into comics, you need to go down and check it out, because the Billy Ireland Cartooning Museum is fantastic. It's amazing.
I really hope I can make that pilgrimage one of these days. Yeah. They are known for their archive. I've seen a few photos online. I mean, I've been lucky enough to see some original artwork by these creators over the years, but that experience you had, I'm very jealous. That's all. That's
awesome. Well, no, I was very lucky. That's how I got to go backstage.
Yeah. regardless, however you got there, I'm envious, because you saw some really cool stuff. Oh, let me go on record and saying just one more person that, again, huge impact on me.
Absolutely.
Will Eisner, writer and writer, artist, creator of a really classic strip called The Spirit. I actually spoke with him briefly when I was in college. A professor of mine had nudged me to contact someone I revered, show them my work, and just, you know, have a dialogue. And Will was just phenomenal. And I never forgot that. And his work has influenced me very, very much over the years.
Well, one that is my favorite that I thought might come up was, I, as a kid growing up in the 80s and being a teenager in the 90s, Calvin and Hobbes. Man, that just spoke to me, the mischievous Calvin and his sidekick Hobbes. That to me was my favorite comic strip, maybe of all time.
Yeah.
Peanuts is iconic, so I have a feeling, like, you're not American if you don't like Peanuts. I'm sorry. I'm just going to throw it out there. Well,
yeah.
There's something wrong with you.
Agreed.
So.
Calvin and Hobbes, hands down, is a beautiful strip. I loved it. It makes me a little sad, because I consider Calvin and Hobbes the last really great American comic strip.
Mm-hmm.
There have been others that have followed since, but it's all been during the decline, and they don't get noticed, and, you know, nothing's been as strong. Bill Watterson, what he did with that strip. It really was the last great American comic strip.
So if you had any advice for somebody that wanted to do their own comic strip, their own comic, their own art, what would be maybe one or two pieces of advice you would give them?
Well, from personal experience, I would say keep it real. And by that, I mean, don't do anything that you think is a gimmick. Mm. I think the word gimmick is a dirty word. It's fake. It's transparent. You want to do something if you want to be a creator, if you want to do a comic strip or a comic book or whatever, if you have an idea for something, do it, because if you don't, your head's going to pop off. Do it because you've got that itch to put it down on paper and get it right. Don't think about trends and gimmicks and all that junk. Do it because it's coming from your soul. It needs to be real. It needs to be honest. And if you can get that down, other people are going to see that. And that's what makes it successful.
Okay. All right. Well, Gordy, where can folks get issue one, your premiere issue, if you will? I assume it's available through some online store or whatnot. Give us the details, please.
Yeah, happy to. Thank you. Mainly, the most direct way is through my website, which is simply beinggordy.com. I've got a full store. You can get the issue and the future issues, and I'm selling original art and prints and all that fun stuff. Hopefully t-shirts and whatnot in the future. And right now, the only other place to get a copy of Being Gordy is if you come find me at a comic convention. And I've started slowly, getting out there in 2025. In 2026, I'll be picking up, getting a little busier with Comic-Con appearances. And if the appearances or future con appearances will be listed on my website as well.
Comic cons, let me tell you, that we still got what, 4 more months left in the calendar year, and there's plenty are out there, folks. So just look around your local area, and if you find a great comic con, go to it, and no doubt you probably see Gordy there. Maybe, who knows?
Fingers crossed.
All right, do you have any social media that you'd like to run down here real quick, Gordy?
Actually, yeah. So I am on Facebook, and I'm also on Instagram, Threads, Blue Sky, LinkedIn, and a few months ago, I started a newsletter on Substack. So I've got a Substack presence. The Substack is I'm really starting to push, because I'm telling people, if you like what I'm doing and you want to see previews, subscribe to my Substack newsletter. It's free. I'm not asking for money. I'm just building a readership. And through that newsletter, hopefully like at least once a month, I'll be showing people some previews of pages and covers and stuff like that.
Okay. And all of those media outlets, Facebook and that, is just Being Gordy?
It's either Being Gordy or Dave Gordon.
Okay.
One of those two, and you're bound to see an icon that'll be mine, and you're like, oh yeah, that's him.
Okay. Well, yeah. Folks, definitely take it from me. I got, and I want to thank Gordy for giving me a free PDF of issue one, and I read it. Every page was fun. Every page was unique, and you definitely need to check it out, especially, if you are a fan of sitcoms like many of us are. It definitely is a must read, if I may say so.
That's really kind of you. Thank you, John. I really appreciate the support. It means a lot.
You're quite welcome. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with Gordy, talking about his unique project, Being Gordy. And I hope that you enjoyed hearing about this project and reminiscing a little bit about some of those old school comic strips as well as sitcoms. But you can let me know whether you liked this episode or you didn't like this episode, or if you have a question about this episode, or any episode for that matter, let me tell you where you can get in touch with me. First of all, you can shoot me an email if you like. John Orlando at pvdcast.com is the email address. You can shoot me a message over on Twitter, and my personal handle over there is at pvdmvp. You can also drop me a line over on the Facebook, Instagram, and Threads. Just look for at pvdcast. And if you want to let some folks know where they can hear the show, well, there's a couple different avenues for that. First, pvdcast.com is the online home of yours truly and probably the best place to get every new episode. But it's also available through all of those major podcasting outlets and apps. All you have to do is go to the search bar in your favorite outlet or app, put in PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should find it. And by the way, if you're using one of your favorite apps or outlets to listen to the PVDcast, I need you to do me a favor. I need you to rate and review. Rating and reviewing pushes me up in the algorithm, and it just helps me out and lets those outlets and apps know that you're listening. It means a lot to me if you could do that. And while you're at it, why don't you go ahead and subscribe so that you never miss an episode of the PVDcast. But there's a third way that you can catch every single episode, and that is through the Facebook page at PVDcast. Every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I do a little live broadcast of the week's episode. So there you go, three unique ways to get this podcast in your ears, either through pvdcast.com, your favorite online outlet or app, and of course through the Facebook page on Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I want to thank you one more time for checking out the episode. And I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy. Presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2025.